You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky back with you. And Buck, we've got a great one today where we're going to get a chance to jump into your top five list, which have just dropped. So we're going to be really looking at the draft. And we'll start by looking at the players with your top five list. And then we're going to get into some of the team stuff. We're going to work by division and do something we've been talking about for a while, which is, you know, what are the foundational pieces of a championship team and where are the cracks and what needs to be filled? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a good mixture today of players and teams. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. DJ, it's a quick turnaround because we go from talking all NFL stuff to now we're full bore into the draft. And you look up to what, combine is 2-3 weeks away. I mean, it's coming fast. And so just like some of these teams are, like you think about the Niners and the Chiefs are kind of playing catch up when it comes to it. We're playing a little catch up, trying to make sure we get it all right before we get to Indianapolis.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to get all these guys watched. I'm gonna have them all watched before they get to the line to run. I'm gonna have them watched. Now I might be finishing up that morning before they get to the line, man, because it's a lot of guys to go through. But I, you know, as we always remind everybody, this time of year, and the teams are really doing the same thing. Hey, right neighborhood. We'll get them in the right house eventually. But let's kind of cobble these guys that belong together, and then we'll sort those out as we go along.
Yeah, and I think what people have to understand, especially from our side, like the challenge in doing this, there's so many names and so many information, and you and I talk to so many different people while we're looking at tape, and you're trying to kind of just siphon the list down, just trying to get it to, you talk about the magic number, like 150 or so, where you just kind of know that 150, where you're like, okay, this is where I can work with and doing it. And look, man, sometimes you're going to have some guys that are kind of left off on the cutting room floor. Mm. And for me, what's hard is like when you have a top five list, sometimes the top five list doesn't encompass all the guys that are going to be at the top of the board, first rounders. Like you just don't know. And when it comes to positions, the position that I got to figure out how to expand the list, edge defenders. Because when we were scouting, it used to be hard and fast. You had DN and then you had outside linebacker. But now you have so many teams that run these hybrid 3-4 schemes that, man, what someone views as a defensive end, another person views as an outside linebacker. So how do you properly categorize them when you're scouting in general as opposed to being team specific?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I made that switch a few years back because I'm like, I'm not going to try and divide these guys up. Look, you are an interior defensive lineman or you are playing on the edge, whether you're standing up, hand down, whatever. So it's just like those are the categories. I feel like a lot of the media, and even when you're talking to teams, like I get teams that'll send me things, and it's like, you know, they're very preliminary draft board, so it's nothing to pull off of it, mm-hmm. because it's all going to change. But they have one of the things that stood out to me was the different classifications and how they're dividing guys up, and it was you had outside receiver, you had slot receiver, you had especially back, you know, we've mm-hmm. been doing that forever. So you got your running back, your change of pace guy.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to find that speed back. I think even more so, like we think of, oh, it's the pass catcher. Like, nah, it's actually, they're just looking for somebody who has some juice. They want to be able to sprinkle in somebody with some real juice. And then you have the edge rushers,
DTs. So like a Bucky Irving type, right?
Yes.
Like
who I loved, by the way, man.
His tape was fun, man.
His tape was really fun. So let's just jump in right there then. Let's start offense wise, Buck. Let's start at quarterback. And just go, let's go through your top fives, and I'll give you any thoughts I might have on it, but you can let it rip.
Okay. So top five quarterbacks. So in order, I had Caleb Williams, I had Jalen Daniels, Drake May from North Carolina, Michael Penix Jr. from Washington, JJ McCarthy, from Michigan was fifth. And then I added a bonus category, keep an eye on Bo Nix, because I wanted to make sure that I got all the guys that were in the conversation. And I'll say this, like, front facing, we talked about Caleb Williams or whatever. The conversation for me, DJ, is trying to scrimmage out Jaden Daniels versus Drake May.
Yeah.
And the hard thing for me, and I'm going to say this, my bias and my prejudice when it comes to Drake May in North Carolina is because I've seen all their games. Mm-hmm. So it might be the rare case where I have maybe too much information and tape on him compared to some of the other guys. And the separating factor for me with Jaden Daniels and Drake May, the production and the performance was better from Jaden Daniels this year than it was for Drake May. Mm-hmm. Drake May checks off all the boxes from a prototypical standpoint. Great kid, outstanding intangibles, leadership ability, size, arm talent. He's athletic. He has all of these things. The one thing that, and some of the analytics community will take me to task, he doesn't have a notable win. I don't have a game where I can pop in the tape and say, this is the signature game for him versus a top team. Last year, his best game was against Duke, and Duke is fine, but it's more of a middle-of-the-road team. I don't have a game where he went above the X's and O's that I can be like, okay, man, I feel great about him being potentially the number two overall pick. And when I look at Jaden Daniels, there are a couple games where I saw him dominate as a runner and a passer that I'm like, okay, well, like, does that translate? So right now, I have Daniels over May. We'll see if it flips later. But that's how I kind of broke it down when it came to the top five.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. And I think there's a lot of people who see the exact same way. You know, the interesting thing for me is my first two exposures to Drake May were him ripping the heart out of my school in overtime games twice.
Right.
He made big plays in those games. And I think it is fascinating when you talk to people, the grades on Drake May are much higher on the people who went through the school than mm-hmm. the people who just watch the tape. And I think the people that go through the school are like, okay, I see the holes, I see the gaps, but man, I've heard so much about the character and the work ethic and the intelligence that like he's gonna that emboldens you. You get a little more courage to be like, all right, I'll have some faith that this is gonna come together based off what I got out of the school.
Yeah. And so the other thing for me in knowing, like, summertime, I spent some time with Jaden Daniels and mm-hmm. Michael Penix was also in the conversation. Like, so know him from the Elite 11 stuff. So kind of seeing him develop or whatever. And it was a hard sell for me, like, in terms of changing, because like, you know, too much. Like, you remember seeing him have his moments at Arizona State. You remember watching him at El Cajon High School and how, like, he had cheat code. He had this huge receiver that he was throwing to that was 6'7", that was just, it was unfair in high school for him to throw mm-hmm. to him. But I will say, to me, the best thing that he did when he went from Arizona State and he went to LSU, and he played for Brian Kelly. And, you know, Brian Kelly, friend of the program, we know that Brian Kelly coaches his quarterbacks hard. Mm-hmm. So to me, that was eye-opening that he left Herm, went to someone who was known for coaching hard, and he and his game responded in splendid fashion. To me, that's a little thing. But I'm going to say this. The body type, it scares me. And the body type scares me, particularly coming off of the Bryce Young thing.
Yeah.
That also, we stepped outside of our norms when it came to how we normally would view the position. And we're like, hey, look, he's special. He's this. And then you see him and you're like, man, body is just so different than the traditional body that plays that position.
Yeah, he's interesting. Like as a thrower, like there's some Stroud stuff in terms of always on balance, pure stroke. You know, it looks smooth. He's just a lot leaner version of him as a runner. You know, trying to think of guys he reminded me of, he kind of reminded me of RG3 coming out as a runner. We're more of a linear, you know, more of a linear, going to take off and go straight line speed.
Yeah.
Like it, not a lot of shake and wiggle and stuff like that. So anyways, he's it's going to be a fascinating debate as we continue to go through this. I will say it feels like talking to people, and then even I feel the same way. Well, I think we're on the same page here. We're Caleb's at the top. There's a debate between 2 and 3, with May and with Daniels. And then the next three, you talk to teams around the league, they're all in every kind of order imaginable. There's McCarthy teams, there's Knicks teams, and there's Penix teams.
Yeah, so I think that conversation is fascinating because, like, we've talked about Penix and Knicks because, there was a ton of tape on them. We were able to talk about them as soon as the season ended. Mm-hmm. J.J. McCarthy is kind of like the mystery, right? He's kind of, let's make a deal, what's behind door number 3? You know, you have a guy who's a winner, national champion, a guy who would look 2-year starter, great kid, the intangibles. I mean, your guy swore by him, Jim Harbaugh, talking about him being the number 1 overall. So there's that. He's played in games where he's just kind of been the bus driver. But I have this in my mind, and I'm not saying they're similar as players. I remember the conversation before Justin Herbert became Justin Herbert. I remember the conversation where, like, yeah, you know, we just don't see it as a conservative offense, this and that. And I do wonder, once we get a chance to see J.J. McCarthy throw beside all these guys and we have a greater appreciation for his arm talent and what he brings, are we able to separate how he was asked to play from how he could play at the next level?
Yeah, I feel like he was an acquired taste for me. I feel like the more I watched him, the more I liked him and the more I appreciated it. You just have to watch a lot of him because he doesn't get the volume that these other guys have. It doesn't necessarily run through him like it does the other guys. But you've got the Penix and Knicks. You've got the age. You've got the experience. You've got the adversity. Then you've got McCarthy. He doesn't have the volume, but he's much younger. He can really run. He's got a live arm. And I feel like we use this comp a lot over the years, but he is, to me, like, what you're hoping he's going to be is Alex Smith. Like, I think that's what you're hoping he's going to be is Alex Smith. Both kind of narrow guys, not the biggest guys in the world, but just everything they do is efficient. They're smart. They're good athletes. They can run, you know. That was the one that came to mind to me.
So that's a good one. The reason why it resonates with me, obviously, we were on the West Coast scouting him. And I remember Alex Smith, I think, coming out of Utah was 22-1. Mm-hmm. And he was playing in that spread system that was new at the time under Urban Meyer. He was super athletic. I want to say his senior year, he ran for maybe 700 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, but just enough where you really had to account for him. And he was smart. He was that, but he looked, I mean, it's very similar in terms of the amount of starts and stuff that he had. And it took a while for Alex Smith to kind of click as a pro. But Jim Harbaugh, and now that you say the comparison, maybe Jim Harbaugh saw Alex Smith.
I didn't even put that together. Yeah. He saved, you know, kind of Alex Smith's career.
And maybe he's like, oh, okay, I can see how I can make this work. That's a really good comparison. I think the combine is going to be really important for all these kids, but those final three, we talk about Penix, McCarthy, and Knicks, it's going to be important to not only talk to them, to see them work out, but for Penix, it's going to be the medicals. For McCarthy, it's going to be the workout and the interviews. And I think for Knicks, it's going to be just throwing because his game is so intermediate, short-range, intermediate throws that you just wonder, hey, can he push it down the field, or is he always kind of going to be a guy that is kind of a master of the short game?
Yeah, I would say, and then we won't spend as much time as we go through these other positions, but it is quarterback. I will say my Bo Nix comparison, Buck, is if you were going to say range, right? If we're going to go like you're taking a test, I feel like Bo Nix is an 82 to an 87. Like, he's going to... The low end, he's going to be a B-. You're passing the class. You can win games with him. On the top end, B+, 87, 88. Like, that's where he is. But I feel like there's not as much risk there. I feel like I know exactly who he is, what he is. But you're not going to get to chase you're not really chasing the upside there.
No, I think of the three, we talk about who has the least amount of volatility.
Yeah.
Bo Nix would probably film that. Like, you kind of know, like, hey, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And at a time where it was kind of chasing great and chasing the Pat Mahomes, no, he's good. Now, we got to make sure that we have the stuff around him to be fine, but he's just solid. He's good. So when you talk about 82 to 87, that's what it kind of reminds me of in school. Like, hey, just a solid B. Yep. Solid B all day. Good play.
Which means to me, like, you probably for him, you don't want to go to one of the teams picking a top 5, 6, 8. You want to go to a team that needs a quarterback towards the back end. We've talked about the Rams. I think you may have even had him going there. But like that team that where he can, you maybe he'll be able to take over a good, ready-made team, and he'll be able to slide right in and go. Whereas some of these other guys might be able to lift up and carry some of these other underperforming rosters. So that's a quarterback spot. Let's go quickly through the rest of the offense here, the skill guys. Why don't you go wideouts, then we'll get to running backs.
Okay, here we go. So wideouts. Now, you know, the wideouts, I mean, there's so many wideouts that can play in this league, in this draft. I mean, supply is going to really outweigh demand. Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas Jr., and then the star of the Senior Bowl, Ladd McConkey. Just keep an eye on him as one of those guys that is going to get some buzz late in the process.
Yeah, no, it's a good list. It'll be interesting to see what Keon Coleman runs. That's one of the big question marks with him.
I met him down at the East West Shrine Game. He is one of the best like 50-50 ball specialists that you're going to find. And so initially I made the comparison, kind of reminds me a little bit of DeAndre Hopkins, not a runner, but just kind of a ball catcher. He's a great contested ball catcher because he's always going to have contested catches. Like, he's always going to have people around him. But yeah, it'd be interesting because I think the running part is going to make or break him, because there are guys that are just beneath this list that are itching.
Troy Franklin's going to fly from Oregon. So that'll be interesting.
He's another one. Yeah, he's another one. And you look at his numbers in comparison to Marvin Harrison Jr., like, he's right there in terms of production. Different type player, but production is going to be there. But DJ, we talk about it every year, man. You talk about wanting a wideout. You can get a wideout at any stage of the draft. But in the second and third round, I mean, there's just so many guys. It may kind of decrease their value a little bit because you're like, I can go back in the second or third round and get that. I can get another position up high. But there's some really good players in this class.
All right, running backs.
Here we go. Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Trey Benson, Florida State, Blake Corum from Michigan, Bucky Irvin from Oregon, Audric Estime. And then I just keep an eye on Braylon Allen from Wisconsin. And look, man, the running back class, there's not a first rounder in my mind in this group. I think this is one where you're value shopping when you look at the position. Maybe the run start, second, third round, where you start finding those guys that can plug in. But there's not one that I would say a first rounder, I have to have this guy.
Be on the lookout for this. I'll just give everybody a heads up. This could be a game of chicken. So, like, I have six running backs that I gave the same grade to, which grade-wise, they're starting grades, which would equate to in a normal year, like in the middle to late second round range, but there's six of them. So as the draft goes along, teams are going to sit there and go, well, the run hasn't started. I don't want to be the first one in line at the running back store. Like, six of them. I like six of them. So let's just play chicken. Let's wait. So I think that even though, like, we have some guys that are worthy of going middle two, back two, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a running back in the first two rounds, because teams are going to say, I don't want to be the first one in line. I'll wait. And once I start to see the run go, then I'll jump in, knowing that I just got to get one of these, you know, probably 6 to 8 guys that teams are going to have evenly graded. I will give you two guys that I thought really popped. I just finished up watching them. So I've watched all the running backs now, Buck. And the of the bigger guys, Ray Davis from Kentucky at 220 pounds. He's a little fire plug. He's like a Frank Gore body double.
Oh, Kentucky, yeah.
Yes, he's a powerful dude. Marshawn Lloyd from SC is 217 pounds. I like the way that he ran. So those are kind of my bigger guys that I liked that popped. And then, you know, Jalen Wright from Tennessee, I think, he's exciting. Like, he's got juice, and he's 210 pounds. Like, he's the one, you know, I would probably target on there that I got most excited about, as well as you mentioned it, Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving's a little undersized. I'm anxious to see how big he ends up coming in. I think, you know, size-wise, he's going to be very similar to Jahmyr Gibbs, but I don't think he has quite that same juice. Jahmyr Gibbs ran 4.36. I don't think Bucky Irving's going to run that. But I put on Twitter, Devin Singletary is a good comp for him, who's been a really good player, who's someone I had a good grade on him. Remember, he ran the 4.6s, and I dropped him down. Every time you do that, you're an idiot. Like, come on, he ended up being exactly who I thought he was going to be, but I punted on him just because he didn't run fast.
Yeah, no, it's It's funny you said that because having conversations, like obviously when you submit the list, you get some pushback. Hey, what about this guy and that guy? And you're like, man, look, all these guys are great. Like you told me I only can bring five. I only can bring five to the party.
Yeah,
you know, but you're right. Like the right kid from Tennessee, certainly is of interest. Marshawn Lloyd from USC. You talk about Davis from Kentucky. I mean, this.
That's what I'm saying. I think there's, you know, we're talking about 6 to 8 guys. So I'm just telling you, man, don't be shocked if this is a draft where somebody says, screw it, I'm just going to wait to the third round. And then the run will start and they'll all go one after another after another.
Nah,
that's the tight ends. Not the greatest group of tight ends coming off of last year where it was unbelievable. What do you got?
No, not the greatest group. And I think it's one than the others. I'm going to say Brock Bowers from Georgia. He's the belle of the ball. And then Jatavion Sanders from Texas, Kay Stover, Ohio State, Theo Johnson, Penn State, A.J. Barner from Michigan, and then Ben Snow from K-State was kind of in my keep an eye on list.
Okay, I like it. The two names I'll throw in there that I liked going through these guys, Eric All from Iowa.
He was close. I had him right there. I mean, had
big,
him right
there. Big and physical and tough. And I mean, this Iowa tight end, you can't go wrong there. And then Tanner McLaughlin was kind of like a find for me going through there from Arizona. Who's a good player, who's really got some twitch to him. Guys I liked.
I had another one for you. The kid from Colorado State, Dalen Hoker.
Yeah. Yep. I did him too.
He was a good little player, good little H-back player. Showed up well at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Mm-hmm. And you just can see, like, he can catch. And DJ, it's one of those things where we talk about, hey, man, you know, the group is a little different than whatever, but look, we're going to, third, fourth round, there can be some guys taken that end up having kind of production, and we end up talking about kind of like Isaiah Likely as kind of being the guy from Coastal Carolina that went to the Baltimore Ravens that has kind of teased us with his talents. I mean, so there'll be some guys that emerge.
All right, give me some offensive linemen here and just rip through them, and then we'll take a break.
Okay, look, really good offensive tackle class, like in terms of just the depth. Joe Alt from Notre Dame, Fashanu from Penn State, Thalys Fuaga from Oregon State, Amarius Mims from Georgia, J.C. Latham from Alabama, and then keep an eye on Troy, what is it, Fuatanu?
Fuatanu, yeah, who some people Fuatanu have him as a guard, some will have him as a tackle.
So this is what's hard because, like, when we go to the interior guys, let's rip some of these because some of these
go
guys,
to the interior guys
are tackles. So I have Graham Barden from Duke, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, Chris Haynes from UConn, Zach Center from Michigan, and then Javian Cohen from Miami. Some of those guys that played offensive tackle and are projections to go inside the guard or center and those things. And so the group itself is just solid. And I think, man, we talk about first round, middle of the second round, there can be a lot of offensive tackles and offensive linemen that kind of come off the board because it's a really good run, a really good supply this year.
Yep, and you've got a mix of polished guys, and then you've got some real athletic upside plays there as well. So it's a good group of, I think, 10, 11 tackles deep in this draft. Two interior guys, I would say, Buck, that I think that'll be in the mix as you continue to work through these guys as we go through the whole process. I think that'll rise up. I do think Frazier from West Virginia is really talented. He was hurt.
Oh, Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier.
He's got all the wrestling stuff that you love as a center. And then I would say Pooney from Kansas, who had a really good week down there at the Senior Bowl. I think you'll see him kind of rise up as we go through the rest of the process. But, yeah, that's a solid list. We're going to take a quick break. We'll go through the defense after this break, and then we'll get into the AFC East and some building block foundational pieces here just a minute right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, Buck, let's flip it over to the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, let's go to it. So we'll start from front to back. Let's start with the edge rushers. So remember, some of these guys are three-point stances. Some guys are stand-up guys. But we'll start off. Dallas Turner from Alabama. Leiatu Latu from UCLA. Jared Verse from Florida State. Chop Robinson from Penn State. And Braylon Trice from Washington.
Yeah, that's good. I think the debate is going to be 2 and 3, similar to the quarterbacks, where – you talk to teams that are Latu teams, there are scouts that are Latu scouts, and then there's those that are Jared Verse fans. So it's different. It's the polished craftsman in Latu. It's the twitchy, you know, explosive, physical, powerful Verse. And then I think most people are going to have Alabama at the top with Turner because of his ability to kind of do a little bit of both and to bend. So I think that's why I think that's kind of shapes those top three guys.
Yeah, no, I think it shapes it. And Latu, man, you just can't stop watching just the relentless motor, the effort that he exhibits. We always talk about effort, not necessarily being a talent, but we've seen that high energy guys are able to really produce double digit sacks if they go to the right spot, have the right situation, and can create those right opportunities. Chop Robinson is also interesting to me when you talk about just twitchiness. Production doesn't match the athletic performance, but man, we've seen Penn State have some guys of late that can come in and kind of make plays, splash plays on occasion, despite not having like these long pedigrees and long resumes of success.
Yeah, they got another edge rusher on the other side, Deese Isaac, who's a good player. But Chop Robinson's fascinating because his name is appropriate because he takes those little choppy steps, Buck. And every D-line coach that I've ever been around always talks about, hey, gain ground.
Let's go.
Gain ground. Get off the ball. How much ground can you cover in your first three steps? And he's just like, so I think he's going to have to lengthen that out a little bit. It's something for him to work on, but he is very, very twitched up, very, very explosive. All right, let's move backwards off there. Then what we got?
Here we go. So let's go defensive tacklers. Jerzon Newton from Illinois, Byron Murphy from Texas, Tavondre Sweat from Texas, Chris Jenkins from Michigan, and Brandon Dorius from Oregon.
Yeah, so a couple things. Jenkins is going to test like a freak from Michigan. Doesn't make a ton of plays. He's tough to evaluate because he doesn't have a lot of action, doesn't make a lot of things happen. He's going to be a really, really impressive physical specimen. He's going to run fast. Newton's really, really good with his hands. I appreciate what he does as a rusher. To me, Byron Murphy, and I think we'll see it in the testing. I haven't talked to where he's training yet. I'll get those numbers before we get to the combine. I have a feeling Byron Murphy's going to test like a freak.
Oh, well, normally Texas guys are always like really good testers because they get some of the best recruits. They get some of the best athletes, and then they unleashed him. He is kind of freakish when you kind of see the movement, just the movement skills and whatever. Even Tavondre Sweat, like someone that big moving around, like you see stuff that you're not supposed to see.
We don't know how big, though. Is he has to get on the scale with the combine, Buck. He didn't get on the scale at Senior Bowl. Like, you got to get on the scale, big fella. Come on now.
I mean, like, just your eyeballs tell you that it's going to be big. I hope he doesn't bust the scale, but he's going to be huge. Chris Jenkins is interesting. Obviously, I was in Carolina with his dad. His dad is a two-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler. And so bloodlines and legacy will certainly help him. You talk about the lack of production, but I don't know if there's been a very productive Michigan D lineman that played on the interior coming out. They just kind of play their roles and set it up for other guys. But he's an interesting one to watch.
Yep. Maurice Hurst. I go back to Maurice Hurst, maybe the last really productive interior guy there. All right, let's go to off-the-ball linebackers. What do we got?
So off-the-ball linebackers, another entering class. We talk about linebackers kind of being the defensive version of running backs where the value may not always be there. But there's some intriguing players, some that I would take flyers on. Edrian Cooper from Texas A&M.
Yep.
Jeremiah Charter Jr. from Clemson. Peyton Wilson from NC State. Cedric Gray from North Carolina. And then Junior Colston from Michigan. And of that group, look, Cooper, I think, is terrific in terms of an athlete. Jeremiah Charter Jr. is interesting to me just because, similar to his dad, man, he is a traffic cop. He kind of understands it, controls it, instinctive, plays it. Maybe plays a step faster than his athleticism and talent because he just kind of knows what's going on. And he has some of that energy and that edge that his dad had. I'm just a really, really good player. And we talk about edge and energy. Peyton Wilson is, man, he is an energy bus. He comes, ball of fire. He is nasty. He's aggressive. I mean, he just makes plays. This dude chases all up and down the field. Like, people will see that tape where he's just running down the field in pursuit. Just a really good player. So I actually like the linebacker class. I don't think that you necessarily have to take one in the first round, but I think in the second or third round, these guys are going to come in and make immediate contributions.
Yep. No, I think there's some good ones in there. Edrian Cooper, to me, is the top one as well. He can really cover. He can run and he can cover, which is what you're looking for in today's linebacker. All right, let's go save the corners for last because I love the corner group. How about safeties?
Okay, so safety class is so all over the place in terms of what you're looking for. One, it's already a hard position to evaluate because depending on how you're going to play them in the pros, you may not necessarily get that in college. But I'm going to go with Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, Cameron Kitchens from Miami, Javon Bullock from Georgia, Kalen Bullock from USC, and then Tyke Smith from Georgia.
Yep, I would say, and I still have to do several of those guys, so that's a position that I've got a ton of work yet to do. But of the texts I get from teams on asking, like, what do you think about this player, Kalen Bullock's name comes up a lot. I think it's because he's tall and rangy. He's freaking fast. I saw him play. He played against my son in high school. So I saw him when he was a high schooler. Yeah, when he was at Pasadena Muir. And they had another kid that was at UCLA, was a corner too. Humphrey, I think, was his name. But John Humphrey. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. I think he just transferred to USC. But Kalen Bullock is really, really athletic. Now, he's had some tackling issues, notably, like, I think people go back to the Tulane game. I think he got ran over in that one. I think Utah ran over him a couple times as well. But really, really rangy safety that teams are really, really have piqued their interest on him. And some teams even think he can play corner because he's tall and long and fast.
Well, this is what's interesting about this group. So, man, there are years where we go through the safety class, and, man, you can't find one guy that makes splash plays. DJ, these dudes have ball skills. I mean, Newbin had 13
picks. Newbin's got a bunch of production.
Yeah, like Bucks, I think, has 9 interceptions. Like, these dudes get their hands on the ball. And with the value on turnovers in the National Football League even increasing, man, you got to have someone who has some ball skills. And I think in this class, you'll have some of those guys. But the tackling will be the issue that you have to address with a bunch of these guys. You got center fielders, but can they come up and thump and be contributors in the run game?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit of a JT Woods wound in that I kind of bought in a little bit of him coming out of Baylor. Tall, long, fast, tons of production, but he was not a tackler. And you can't stay on the field, man. If you can't tackle, it's the last line of defense.
It's too hard because, man, inevitably, like, the running back's going to squirt through and it's going to be you one-on-one with a ton of space. And if you're not able to get him down, I mean, it's a 60-yard touchdown. You have to be a dependable tackler. And that's one of the things that we've talked about. We texting each other throughout the year. If you can't tackle on the perimeter, man, it's a problem because all the bubble screens and things that people are doing, you just can't
Who's the best tackling? Who is the best tackling secondary in the NFL this year?
Kansas City Chiefs, man. They were getting people down, getting them down on the ground. Right now, it's not a surprise.
Not a surprise. All right. We saved the best for last on defense. Your corner, what do you got?
Man, this is so tough, man. We're going to scrimmage just a lot. Tyrion Arnold from Alabama, Nate Wiggins from Clemson, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, and Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama.
Okay, I will say this. I think because you had East-West duties and you had to go down there and you do all your work down there, that you didn't get a chance to go to the Senior Bowl and watch that Quinyon Mitchell every day. I think if you'd have been at the Senior Bowl and seen him every single day, Buck, I think you would have jacked him way up.
Yeah, I heard about it. I heard he's kind of like the star. He was the buzz. I read all the reports. I saw some of the video. I know he crushed it coming out of Toledo. But DJ, this is your time. We still got time.
No, I know. But, like I said, I know you and I know what you like in players. And I'm just telling you, I've seen the future. I don't know. This is on Marty McFly. I'm just telling you, when we get to April, you're going to have Quinion Mitchell up higher. That's what I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing. I know that he was someone on the radar because you started texting and talking about him early January. Yeah. Early January, we had
one of the first ones I popped because everybody's like, hey, you got to watch this kid from Toledo. So you have no expectation. But I was like, whoa.
Yeah, he has it. And I think we've talked about it, but I appreciate the fact that he didn't bounce up, that he stayed in Toledo. He did his thing. He was the big fish in a small pond, but dominated. And then the fact that he goes to the Senior Bowl and dominates. You're right. I didn't get a chance to put my eyes on him personally. Man, I missed that part of it. Like just being able to get down there, watch the one-on-ones, watch all those guys move and break and all of this stuff. There's nothing like it. But I do know that he's rising with a bullet, and there are a lot of people that are really excited about his potential.
So, again, training, a lot of times, you know, you'll get different numbers from guys when they're training. I'll just say this. He's going to fly. Quinion Mitchell is going to fly. To the point where if it's 4.35, you will see him hang his head on the combine. I'm just saying. So yeah, and the interesting one to me, the one who I want to do more on, who the league is higher on than I am, and you're higher on than I am, is Wiggins. Because Wiggins has got size and speed and athleticism. Mm-hmm. The games that I watched, I think I went through three games to start through the process. I saw him hang on blocks. I didn't see him. He just didn't seem interested in the run game. And so I dinged him on that.
Now, it's hard, but now
talking to other people, and there's like plays where you'll see him chase and force fumbles way down the field, show you some effort. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, but there's a difference between running behind somebody and catching up to him versus getting off a block, filling forward and wanting to get in the mix. Like that's a different thing.
Yeah. Everyone will put their face in the fan. You know what I'm saying? Like it's tough out there on the perimeter when you have to square up against a guy that sees you, looks you dead in your eyes. Like, will you be willing to make those tackles? You talked about the Kansas City Chiefs. The one thing that really showed up all year, man, DJ, they are a great tackling team on the perimeter. Got a little feistiness and an edge to them, but they do a great job of getting people down. We saw that in the Super Bowl, but we saw it game after game after game. They did not allow a lot of yards after catch.
No doubt. Well, there you go. I think that's a great list. Again, you can go to NFL.com. What is the URL on that, Nabil? NFL.com. Is it just Bucky Brooks? I think that's what it is. I think if you go NFL.com and type in /Bucky Brooks, I think that's going to take you right where you want to be. There you go. Bucky Brooks on NFL.com. All right, let's get into these team conversations. This is something we're going to do. We're trying to do this for every division. Mm-hmm. We've got our buddy Jack Andrade, who is the best in the business when it comes to research. I gave him a little project because we've talked in the past about a championship foundation and what does that look like. And we came up with on our show, if you want to have a championship team, you start with the quarterback. You need three offensive playmakers. You need three quality offensive linemen. You need two pass rushers, and they can come inside, outside, either way. And you need three defensive playmakers, wherever they come, linebacker, secondary, like just different second, third level players. So we had Jack then kind of run all these teams through this formula and see what it shook out. And so we're going to start with the AFC East, Buck, and give people a little bit of a glimpse into these teams and where they are and where they could be headed. All right, you ready to roll?
I like that. You guys are not privy to the color-coded system that we have, but just explain briefly about color-coded so guys can kind of get a peek at what happens in the draft room.
Yeah, so we have blue. We have for blue chip guys. Green is just a good, solid player. Yellow means there is some concern with them. It could be age. It could be injury. It could be a contract issue. Pink is just an unproven young player. So we'll get to those colors as we go through the foundation. But I want to give you a holistic look at these teams. We'll start with the Buffalo Bills. This is a team went 11-6 last year, Buck. They have the 28th pick in the first round. They got the 60th pick in the second. Salary cap, yikes. They are $51.3 million over. So they have some trimming to do. Yeah. Notable free agents, the two top ones, I would say, you're looking at Leonard Floyd, Gabe Davis. So you got the edge rusher and receiver, as well as Epinesa on the edge and linebacker. Dotson, and then a DT, DaQuan Jones. The building block players, so if we're just looking at age and kind of where they are in their careers, I'll just rattle off the names here. You've got Josh Allen, who's 28, Ed Oliver's 26, James Cook, 24, Dalton Kincaid, 24, Spencer Brown, 26, Greg Rousseau, 24, corner Christian Benford, 23, Terrell Bernard, linebacker, 25, Khalil Shakir, 24, Osiris Torrance, 24. But that's kind of a holistic view. So now we look at, let's run them through this championship foundation process. So if we look at the quarterback, Josh Allen, that's a blue. Check. Mm-hmm. Great shape there. Offensive playmakers. We have Diggs with a yellow just because, you know, we'll see where he is with his contract, you know, getting a little bit older. We have Green, so good, solid players and young players at that, and James Cook and Dalton Kincaid. So do you, where do you feel about their playmakers? Because I'm looking at that saying, okay, with when you have Gabe Davis as a free agent, I don't know, you know, Stephon Diggs contract-wise where that's going to go long-term. It feels like, and I like Khalil Shakir, but it feels like they still need one more guy.
Yeah, no, they need another guy. I mean, the first thing that stands out to me is they need another playmaker out wide. They need someone that can be a playmate for Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis is fine, but I don't think you bring him back because I think the inconsistencies would prevent that. But they need someone that can make it happen on the perimeter. So in the draft, I think it has to be a priority to find a pass catcher that can do something with the ball in his hands.
No doubt. You go to the quality offensive linemen. We've got Deion Dawkins and Mitch Morse kind of listed as kind of dual yellows there, where you get a little bit older, still good players. You've got quality OL in Spencer Brown as a green, good young player. And then you've got a purple here, and my eyes are going to fail me here.
Purple, it's hard to Osiris Torrance.
Yeah, golly. It's really dark in here. Osiris Torrance. So, look, you could say they're okay there. They've got names and they've it's a solid group there. They could afford to add a little something there, but I like where they are, especially the tackles with Dawkins and with Spencer Brown.
Yeah, no, they still can add something, but you want to continue to fortify that offensive line because if you can keep Josh Allen protected, he can elevate the rest of the squad around it.
Yep. Then we go to the pass rushers. Ed Oliver is a blue. He's a blue player as an interior pass rusher. Greg Rousseau, we're going to still put him as a little bit unproven as a young player. So if you're looking at two pass rushers, and I still think that I want to have two blues, man. I think they need another one.
Yeah, they need another one. Von Miller is no longer that guy. He can't be considered a blue caliber player. So they need to have somebody. So either Rousseau has to continue to develop or they need to continue to find one, and that may be in the draft.
Yep. Defensive playmakers, you got Milano. You've got a young player and two young players there in Benford and Bernard. You've got some other guys, and Taron Johnson's a really good nickel. Tre'Davious White, Rasul Douglas. I still think in terms of like that blue, like a blue player, a blue impact player, I would love to see one more playmaker there in the middle to back end of that defense.
Yeah, no, I think they need somebody because they're going to lose both the safeties. They need someone that can come up not only as a shutdown corner, but they need someone that can make plays over the middle of the field. You think about Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, nearing the end of their run. Yeah, it's time for them to find some other players that can make it happen in the back end.
Yep. All right, let's get to, we'll close up shop on them. Their last six first-round picks, Dalton Kincaid, he had a great year last year. Kyir Elam before that, jury's still out on that. Greg Rousseau's been solid, not spectacular. Ed Oliver is a home run. Josh Allen, grand slam. Mm-hmm. And then Tremaine Edmonds, who is a great player for them and signed for a big money deal with Chicago. So pretty good job they've done in the first round there in Chicago or in Buffalo.
Yeah, pretty good job because they've nailed their top 10 picks. You would like to see them get a little more out of the guys that were bottom of the first round selections.
All right, let's move on to the Dolphins. Buck, last year, Dolphins 11-6. They have the 21st pick and the 55th pick. Another salary cap debacle. They are $51.9 million over on the cap. Notable free agents, Christian Wilkins, I would imagine he'll get tagged. They're not going to let him walk away. Connor Williams coming off of, he's played well, but injuries. You've got Robert Hunt is up as well. So that's a couple starters on that offensive line. And then Andrew Van Ginkel on the edge, who's played well when he's been out there. The building blocks in terms of the age, Tua's 26, Waddle's 25, Javon Holland is only 24. God, he's a great player. Jalen Phillips, 25. Achane's 22. Austin Jackson is 25. So they've got all those players under contract, those young pieces. When we look at the formula here, the championship foundation, Tua is a green. Would you agree with that, Buck? Just a good, solid player?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's a solid player. I don't think he's necessarily like special in that way to rehold some of the elite quarterbacks, but I think he's a very good player for what they do.
We've got Tyreek Hill's a blue. You got Jaylen Waddle, who is a green on the cusp of a blue. And then you've got Achan and Mostert kind of as that other playmaker. So playmaker-wise with Hill, Waddle, Achan slash Mostert, I think the quarterback, they're solid, and I feel like they're in a really good spot with their three offensive playmakers.
Yeah, really good spot. I mean, this is a team that is driven by their offense and what they do. I think what you're wondering about, can they get their two pass rushers back up to speed? Because if Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb return to form, then you have an opportunity to do it. But just dealing with the injuries, how long will it be before we see them get close to what they were when they were dominating the game last year?
We get to the offensive line. Austin Jackson, we give him, Jack gave him a green as a solid young player, made a step forward. They paid him. Terron Armstead is a yellow, just with the age, obviously. And then they've got two starting offensive linemen that are free agents. So if you're saying they need three, you know, high quality offensive linemen, I would say that is 100% a need when it comes to the offense.
Oh, man, they have the double down, triple down to do it, because that's the area. I mean, that's the area of concern. And it's going to have to be from organic, it's going to have to be from the draft, because they're not going to be able to spend money to solve that problem.
Yep. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball. Love the two pass rushers with Jaylen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. Phillips is a green on the cusp of a blue. Bradley Chubb's listed as a yellow just because he's had some injuries and he's gotten up there a little bit. He's not old, but he's up there a little bit. Mm-hmm. So they're good there. Defensive playmakers, Javon Holland is, I would argue, could be a blue instead of
really good.
A green.
Yeah, really good
really
player.
Good player. Jalen Ramsey's a blue. And then you've got some other, you know, guys in the mix here with Xavien Howard, Jerome Baker, David Long, either kind of age injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a need for one more playmaker there at the second and third level.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've had up and down performance of late from Xavien Howard. And so you could think about pairing Jalen Ramsey with another elite corner to solidify that back end. But you're right. This team is super talented, right? They have the right pieces and foundation in place. They just need like a little tweaking for this team to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And then you look at the last five first round picks. Waddle, home run. Jalen Phillips, I think, has been really, really good when he's been out there. He got hurt last year. Tua has been solid. Obviously, that debate will live on with him and Herbert, him going just ahead of Herbert. Austin Jackson, taking some time, but he's developed into a good player. And Igbinoghene no longer there. So I would say four out of five in their last five first-round picks. Good job.
Yeah, solid job. The corner was a miss, but that's – look, it happens sometimes. You're bottom of the first round. Sometimes you just whiff on a player.
Yep. Let's get to the New England Patriots. New England Patriots coming off a 4-13 season. They are picking 34 in the second round, 68 in the third round. Projected cap space, whereas the other two teams were $1 zillion over the cap, Buck, they have $66 million in cap space in New England. So I think it's like the third most. They have a ton of cap space. Free agents, offensive line-wise, Trent Brown, Owenu. You've got the receiver in Kendrick Bourne, Hunter Henry, the tight end, Gesicki, the tight end, and edge rusher Uche and safety Duggar. Those are their free agents. Building block-wise, the first two I love, man. Christian Gonzalez is 22. Barmore's 25, the D-tackle. Ramondre Stevenson's 26. Cole Strange, 26. Sidy Sow, 26, guard. Demario Douglas, receiver, 23. Keon White didn't do much last year, 25, edge rusher. Marte Mapu, personal favorite, didn't do a lot last year, 24. Those would be those building blocks. And when we get to the championship foundation, this is not great. This is where you're going to see where this team is. Quarterback.
Oof. Don't even know.
They don't have that guy. They don't have that guy right now.
Yeah.
So that is a definite need, and that's where you start. Offensive playmakers, Ramondre Stevenson, you know, has had injuries, but it's a good young player. Demario Douglas flashed a little bit as a young player, but unproven. Juju, I mean, he's a yellow on here. That is, so we're in need at quarterback. We are definitely in need. I would say two, wow, at least.
Man. Gosh,
you need two playmakers.
Man, you need you need two playmakers and a quarterback. That's tough. You need another. Need what?
Look at the offensive line. Look at the offensive line. You got David Andrews, who's a yellow because of, you know, you got age there.
You might need three offensive linemen to be able to get it.
Both tackles are free agents, so that's a crying need. So you need, we're going to say, look, I like Cole Strange. City Styles, you know, going to be a solid player, but you still need two, maybe three offensive linemen. Pass rushers, you've got Matt Judon, who's been a very productive player but is older. Christian Barmore is a stud. I would say he could be a blue. He's listed as a green on here. But so you need another pass rusher. And then defensive playmakers, you've got Christian Gonzalez, who's going to be awesome. That one I feel great about. You got Jabril Peppers, Tavai, and Jawan Bentley. I mean, that you need another one or two. This team has needs everywhere. And when you look at the last six first-round picks, Christian Gonzalez, home run. Cole Strange, really good player. He's solid. Mac Jones probably is done there. N'Keal Harry's no longer on the team. Isaiah Wynn's no longer on the team. Sony Michel's no longer on the team. There's your issue right there.
DJ, that is that's significant.
How bad is that?
I mean, it's really bad. And it's really bad because when we think about just the way that you build your team through the draft, and you're just looking at you're supposed to have like 6 to 8 blue chip players to be able to compete at a championship level on your roster. They don't have a blue. There's not a blue player that we can name. That's a huge issue. And I'll give Bill Belichick credit for coaching around the personnel issues, but I can absolutely see why it's time because, man, the team as presently constructed, not a good team.
No question. All right, New York Jets. This is an interesting one. Jets 7-10 last year. They have picked 10. They don't have a 2, but they pick at 72 in the third round. They have $5 million in cap space, so they at least have a little wiggle room there. Free agent-wise, the big one's Bryce Huff, who's going to get paid in the open market. Mekhi Becton, who's been, you know, battled injuries and been disappointing after an impressive first year. Quentin Jefferson, a DT, Carl Lawson, an edge rusher they paid, who just didn't stay healthy and wasn't really impactful. And Jordan Whitehead's been a good safety for him. Here's the interesting thing about the Jets. Here are the building blocks and the ages. Sauce Gardner, 24. Quinnen Williams, still only 26. Garrett Wilson, 24. Breece Hall, 23. Jermaine Johnson, 25. Vera Tucker, 25. Michael Carter, one of the better nickels in the league, 25. Joe Tippmann, 23. Will McDonald, who's going to probably step into a bigger role, 25. It's a good group. It's a good group of young players. So we get to the championship foundation, Buck. Quarterback, Aaron Rodgers is a yellow. Obviously because of age there. But man, if they can just keep him healthy, even if he just plays as a solid player, not a special player, they'll be in pretty good shape there, at least in the very short term.
All right, so look, when you look at the Jets and we talk about the formula that's needed, when you think about the two young playmakers that they have, Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, those are good. Need to add another one to complete it. You have Aaron Rodgers nearing the end of his time, and so the players that they bring in there have to be right now players that can be able to get it done. When I look at the offensive line, it's another, obviously, look, the offensive line is really what crippled them last year because they're good enough on the perimeter to win, but up front, they can't win the trenches. So if I'm Joe Douglas, if I'm Robert Saleh, that has to be the point of emphasis because the rest of their team is ready to go. But if you can't win at the line of scrimmage, you don't have a chance.
Yeah, I'm looking at it saying they need a third playmaker. So you've got Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. They're both blues, young blues, which is a good thing to have. But you need a third guy there. Offensive line-wise, Vera Tucker is a green who could be a blue if he could stay healthy. Joe Tippmann's a good young player, but he's unproven. So you've got two guys there. You need the third offensive lineman. Lakin Tomlinson has not been great. We'll see what happens with him. I think he's got a pretty decent size cap hit there. They need to figure out what they're going to do. And Vera Tucker's flexibility to play inside, outside, I think, helps them. I think you might be better served to kick Vera Tucker out to right tackle, and then you can find some interior guys in free agency to come in and try and help. On the defensive side, pass rusher-wise, they're in great shape. Quinnen Williams is a blue. Even if they lose Huff, Jermaine Johnson played great last year. He's a green that has blue potential. And then defensive playmakers, you know, Sauce Gardner's a blue. Quincy Williams, the linebacker, played like a blue. He's all pro.
I mean, DJ, so we've gone through.
They're good on the defensive side.
Like right now in comparison to the division, man, we think about the number of blues. They may have the most blue players of any team in the division in these 12 places that we're talking about. I mean, it's a solid, well-constructed team. They're just hurting up front on the offensive line. But defensively, they can get after it. And they can get after it and dominate the game in a way that puts it in their hands. And when you have a quarterback who is a four-time MVP, if they're able to do it and make it a fourth quarter game with Aaron Rodgers controlling whether you win or lose, I think the Jets would take that all day, every day.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their last six first-round picks. Will McDonald, he'll step into a bigger role this year. You've got Sauce Gardner, home run. Garrett Wilson, home run. Jermaine Johnson, home run. That, those were all in the 22 draft, not to mention Breece Hall was the second-round pick. That was an unbelievable draft in 22. 21, Zach Wilson, we all know the story there. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out. Vera Tucker has been injured, but when he's been on the field, he's played extremely well. So if we're looking at them, I would say four really good hits, three home runs, four really good hits. Will McDonald, TBD, and then Zach Wilson was a miss. So it could end up being a 5 out of 6, depending on how Will McDonald plays this year. But I think the needs for the Jets are very obvious. Their offseason is going to be offense, offense, offense. It's going to be the offensive line, and it's going to be find another playmaker on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, they have to do it. I mean, when you bring Aaron Rodgers back, and we're saying this may be his last rodeo, potentially, they have to find a way to help him. They got to upgrade it up front, make sure he's protected, because not only do you want him protected, you want to create room for Ball to do his thing, because he looks like one of the best backs in the league. Like, he could be next, as we talk about, like an elite performer at the position. If that offensive line is solidified, then you get to see their players really do their thing.
No doubt. Well, there you go. That's the AFC East. We'll try and do this for every division. I think it's healthy, though, when you look at it and you can kind of see, okay, there's a good nucleus here. And then you can look at another team like the New England Patriots and you're like, man, Buck, that is, they are starting from scratch, which again is going to be a fascinating debate as we go to the draft of, are you better off taking the quarterback and then trying to build after that? Or are you better off building up the roster and then later inserting the quarterback? That's the decision they're going to have to make.
That is the decision they're going to have to make. And it's going to be tough. Now, it's a tough decision, but yeah, you're right. Gosh, man, I love doing this stuff. I love that deep dive. The deep dive in division was everything that I wanted to do.
Yeah, no, that's, again, hats off to our buddy Jack Andrade for putting that all together. And we'll continue to do that as we go towards the draft. Good mix today of talking about some individual players as well as looking at some of the team stuff, Buck. It's, you can't do one without the other. It all kind of works hand in glove.
Hand in glove. I like that.
There you go. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Hope you guys have enjoyed this one. It's been fun. We will be back. What is today, Buck? I don't even know what today is. Today's
Thursday.
Thursday. We'll be back next week. We're just recording two this week. So we'll be back next week. I think Tuesday, Thursday, including Thursday, I think it's my conference call. So we'll have all that, which is a long one. But be on the lookout for that content coming your way next week. And we'll see you then right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.